this is where a little bit of astrology plays into it also. We know that different signs react to feelings in different ways. If a person is one of the water signs, Scorpio, Cancer, or Pisces, they totally function based on emotion and feeling, and they have to be particularly careful of the things that we just mentioned before, not to let their lives be ruled by feelings. Other signs, such as the air signs, Gemini, Libra, or Aquarius, these are signs that do use consciousness as their main medium of communication, but at the same time, very often they do need to inject emotion and feeling into their actions in order to propel them to do, and not just to be uncertain about something, like sitting on the fence. So feeling has a very important purpose, but it needs to be controlled by consciousness. It can't run rampant and do whatever it wants. Again, our purpose in life is to reveal the light of the Creator, to share, to give. If a person, for instance, has the ability to tune out feelings of laziness, to tune out feelings of, I don't feel like doing anything right now, if you're able to tune those out, override them, and go and help somebody else, the energy that you get from that is so fantastic, it'll totally override any initial impulse you had not to assist or not to help that individual. This is the process of going through a whole transformation. We're used to functioning based on feeling. We're now going to a different realm of thinking. It's about understanding that feelings are another tool that we can use and manipulate to help us with our spiritual growth. We diminish the feeling when it prevents us from growing spiritually, and we enhance the feeling when they will be suitable to help us take the next step in our growth process. If I have a feeling, for instance, not to scan any of the meditations of the Anabba Koach, again, I'm a little bit lazy, I'm a little bit tired, when intellectually you know that those letters can give your consciousness the energy that it needs to be able to control the feelings, then you can understand how feelings might be in the way of your spiritual growth because they're preventing you from accessing a tool that'll help you. Sometimes people are very shy, very modest, and they need emotion to propel them to act, meaning they need to override their normal shyness with the power of emotion, because for those people, they'll think about it, they'll say in their minds, I know I should be doing this, I know I should be giving charity, I know I should be kinder with my wife or husband, but they need the emotion to actually push them to manifest the thought. So we're seeing now that a complete connection, spiritually speaking, must involve both consciousness and feeling. You can't use one or the other. That's why it's important that a person understands things intellectually, that you comprehend things, that you use your consciousness to make the connection. Like we always learn in the Zohar, knowing is the connection. You can't connect to something until you know about it. You can't connect to the endless world until you're aware that it exists. And then you need the feeling to give you the energy and the motivation to go ahead and make the connection, to help that person, to assist, to leave the comfort zone. We're going to see that we need to direct both our consciousness and our feeling for the sake of revealing more light in our lives. Imagine that in the center of your chest you had a dial, you had a meter. It was your feeling meter. And the arrow could swing to the positive direction, meaning revealing light, or to the negative direction, meaning bringing more chaos into our lives. We call it the feeling dial because we think that dial is controlled about stimuli or events that are going on in our lives. Like we mentioned before, something great happens to you, the feeling dial swings to the positive side. Something negative happens to you, it swings to the negative side. Now, why are we talking about this? Because the bottom line is we have to deal with our feelings. We have to deal with our feelings. Our feelings are something that is with us all of the time. And if we're learning now that feelings can prevent us from growing spiritually, we have to learn how to work with that because the feeling is still going to be there. It's not just going to go away. Sometimes you hear people saying things like, I don't know how to control myself, or I can't control my feelings, or I just simply feel this way. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you ask them to do something and they simply say, but I don't feel like it? What's your reply? How do you combat feeling? It's such a primordial, basic thing. How do you engage that? How do you deal with that? Functioning by feeling has nothing to do with being in control. It's all about being a victim and being in effect. Even when we feel bad, our goal should be to decide in our minds and in our consciousness that we choose now to tap the light of the Creator. If you recall, when we spoke about the energy of excitement, The idea was to be excited, not just about new things that happen in our lives, that's temporary reactive excitement, to be excited about things that are always in our lives, the light of the Creator, the fulfillment that's always waiting to be inside of us. So we always have the option to choose to be excited about connecting to that, as opposed to just submitting ourselves to our reactive feelings. Our consciousness will create everything and take care of physical matter, including our feelings. We are now deciding it's great even if we don't feel great. Let me repeat that again. You are deciding that you feel great even if things are not great. Now, you might have heard these kind of pitches before. You're wonderful. You're great. You're empowered. You're strong. And you listen to those kind of tapes over and over again, and nothing ever changes. The idea is you have to understand the mechanism of how that works. Why does that work? Because your consciousness is the cause and your feelings are the effect, you're using your consciousness to control that feeling dial that you have on your chest that we mentioned before. When you use your consciousness and say, things are always light, things are always energy of Creator, because the Creator always wants us to grow spiritually, the feeling must eventually submit to the consciousness. Our feelings must eventually submit to our consciousness, because that's how the spiritual universe functions. The effect always is under the control of the cause, not the other way around. So the question you might have at this point is, okay, I like that. If I think something in a spiritual way, if I direct my consciousness in a spiritual way, if I channel in a certain way, if I'm excited about the light of the Creator that's always around me, then my feelings, the things that I need to deal with all the time inside of me, they must eventually change. So my question is, how long is it going to take? Can I do this in a split second? Can I change my feelings in a minute? Will it take an hour? Will it take 7 hours? How long precisely will it take for my feelings to change? I understand the concept intellectually. Now, how long is it going to take to manifest in my life? Because of the forces of chaos, because of the forces which we codename Satan, we lack patience. We want the immediate gratification of feeling good right away. We know that in marketing and in sales, everything is built on those principles of immediate gratification. When you sell something, you want it to cure a problem easily, you want it to cure the problem right away, and you want it to be as cheap as possible. And those types of principles are very often the exact opposite of what you need to do to grow spiritually. So how long does it take to feel good? The first thing that we need to do is to stop asking, how long will it take to feel good? I'm not denying the fact that we all want to shorten the process. We want to feel as good as possible, as quickly as possible. But the lesson that we're learning now is, how long we can maintain our consciousness when we don't feel so good is determined by how strong we are spiritually. This is real strength. When we're talking about strength, we're not just talking about how many pounds you can lift. We're not talking about how fast you can run. We're talking about spiritual strength. And what is spiritual strength? It's the ability to maintain a spiritual sharing, tolerant consciousness when you don't feel a certain way. It's easy to feel spiritual when you're feeling good. I feel good now. I feel fulfilled. I feel the light of the Creator inside of me. Be careful, because if you're basing your sharing on how you feel, what happens the day when you don't feel so good? So the day you don't feel good, you don't share anymore? You don't follow your purpose in life? You don't follow the principles of the universe? If we continue to function just based on feelings, every time we don't feel good about something, we'll stop doing the action that we need to do to tap light, and we'll feel drained, and we're going to lose the energy that we so desperately need. It works both ways. When we're happy, we feel that we can share. But when we're not happy, when we feel drained, we have to try and point our consciousness to a place that will lead us towards happiness. You might not see yet where the happiness will come from. You might only see a dead end at that moment of feeling bad. But know that if you act as a channel for the light of the Creator, the happiness must result. The happiness must come through. So to answer the question, the light will be revealed and the feelings will be altered when we let go of expecting specific results. When we let go of expecting the results in terms of time or in terms of specific situations or specific solutions. It's such an important lesson. Mind over matter doesn't mean requesting specific results. Mind over matter, or consciousness over feeling, means light over chaos. I choose the light as opposed to chaos. Again, there are forces out there. that'll want you to choose the immediate gratification of chaos first. But we're using our consciousness to keep those feelings at bay, and instead we choose, I want light over chaos, because I want long-term gratification, not immediate gratification. I want long-term fulfillment. I want continuity of light. I want to be a channel. I want to be spiritually strong. I want giving over receiving. And when I do receive, I want to receive for the sake of sharing. These are the types of consciousness levels that'll help us create miracles in our lives. I know it's difficult for a lot of us not to focus on what we want, because we're convinced that if we don't do it, nobody will do it for us. But a little lesson about how the Creator works. If somebody's focused on something, you know what the Creator says? You know what? That person is so busy trying to handle their problem, I'll let them handle it. The second we take ourselves out of the picture and help somebody else, we've created a space for the Creator to come in. So it's important to have this type of consciousness in terms of not expecting specific results. I know a lot of people, for instance, you know, they date certain people, and then they ask the light, light, please make this person my soulmate. Please make this person my soulmate. Instead of asking, light, please bring me my soulmate. Please bring the energy of soulmate into my life so I can be a more powerful vehicle for revealing the light of the Creator in the world. If it's that person, then let it be that person. And if it's somebody else, I'm prepared for it to be somebody else. That's a spiritual thinking process. In that type of scenario, it's okay to ask to shorten the process. What does that mean, to shorten the process? I'm ready to hear the answer right now, meaning I am ready to let go of the result, or I am ready to let go of my anticipation of what I think I need in favor of what the light knows is best for me. And if we're prepared to do that, we will have long-term fulfillment. But as long as we keep on saying, I want this and I want that, and I won't stop until I get it, it won't really make you happy. When a person is asking to shorten the process, again, they're saying, I don't want to have to go now through the cause and effect process of seeing this whole thing play out through. I'm ready to get the light right now. But again, comes with it the responsibility of sharing that energy and giving more and being more tolerant, being more sensitive. So it's always the paradox. The more you want, the more you got to give. Now, in addition to our individual consciousness, we also have to deal with what we call the collective consciousness. Let's say a person does have a thought to change themselves spiritually. They do want to grow, but the environment that they're in is totally opposite to that type of thinking. You're going to have to deal with the collective consciousness of everybody around you and be aware that if those forces are not spiritual, they will be fighting against you. So if you have the ability to extricate yourself from that situation, do so. Otherwise, it's going to be very difficult, no matter how you individually attempt to be. We know, for instance, when a Holocaust happens to a people, if there's one righteous person in the group, if that person doesn't choose to leave before the Holocaust happens, that person, even though they're righteous, will still be subjected to the same tragedy as everybody else. Take a family situation, for instance. It's not uncommon in couples, one person begins a spiritual path, and the other person is still laid back about it. They're not interested in growing. In some scenarios, the person that's not interested in growing spiritually leaves the individual that began their spiritual journey alone. Do your own thing. I'm not interested, but go for it. In other scenarios, that person doesn't leave them alone. They're fighting against them. They're trying to prevent them from growing. They're not interested in them taking the next step spiritually. This could happen with one person being against you. It could be all of the members of your family. It could be all of the members of your immediate community. And those are the types of situations that a person has to really stop and think, what is it about my life that's really important to me? Is it just the idea of family for the sake of family? Or is it about achieving my true purpose in life? We understand that according to the laws of reincarnation, it's not by accident that we meet the people that we meet. It's not by accident that that is your spouse, or those are your family members, or those are your parents, brothers, and sisters. Everything starts off in our lives exactly the way we need it to in order for us to achieve our correction. But it doesn't mean we have to stay for it simply for the sake of family. If there's no spiritual growth taking place, then what's the point of maintaining the relationship? Because ultimately we live with lack and unfulfillment, and we've accepted that as our reality. I once had a conversation with a woman. We gave a lecture in a certain location, and she came over to me after the lecture and she said to me, I've been married for 50 years. I was just about to say congratulations to her when she said to me, and they've been 50 miserable years. Our lives don't have to be like that. But very often, because we don't follow the spiritual rules of the universe, we do kind of schlep along with things that we don't appreciate or anchors that we know are dragging us down. We battle against the collective consciousness. Don't attempt to battle against the collective consciousness. It'll always win. The simplest thing to do is extricate yourself from that environment and put yourself in a spiritual environment, a place where you have a chance for growing. A farmer doesn't take a healthy seed and plant it in a field where the seed can't grow. Every farmer understands that. At the minimum, we should behave the same way in our lives.
For more information on the spiritual wisdom of Kabbalah or to order other audio tapes, call us toll-free at 1-800-KABBALAH or visit our website at www.kabbalah.com. This has been a Kabbalah Media Group production.